Welcome to the Hosesock podcast. That's a podcast I spontaneously do when I meet someone or like when I talk about an interesting topic. Today, for the first time in English, and I have with me Miha. I think it's a bit complicated to explain who you are. Could you please like introduce yourself?
Of course. So I'm a Slovenian guy working here at Nikin. My journey has been quite interesting, actually. I consider myself as an entrepreneur. I've been in business for, let's say, the last 10 years or so, doing different stuff from being a private tutor to, I don't know, making and selling beer, my own beer brand. Then, I'd say for the last 7 years or so, I've been in e-commerce, building different brands. So my own stuff, let's put it like that. What, 2 years ago, I also joined Nikin because I was always curious what happens if more business minds come together and what happens and how is it working with in a different environment, more or less.
Interesting. I mean, you said you consider yourself as an entrepreneur, but you came into kind of like a employee-work relationship thing. How do you feel about that? Is it fine or...?
Yeah, so basically, the thought process for me was very simple. Before that, I worked only in the environment that I created myself. So actually, I thought that there's a little bit of an experience missing in my life, how it is to be on the other side, not just making decisions, but also to be hands-on stuff. Of course, as a startup or entrepreneur, whatever, you're always hands-on, but you know what I mean.
I know.
To feel also how it is not to be 100% responsible or about everything that happens in the company. So that's why I thought that I would give it a shot. But actually, a story about how I came to Nikin was very different. So,
well, tell that story in a second. But first, I want to just ask, is it better now? Is it worse now? Like, how you feel, happier or worse?
Personally, much better than how it was before, because I still have the freedom to experiment in my own side businesses. But still, at the same time, it's a pleasure and great challenge to co-create one of the brands with biggest potential here in Switzerland. So I get the best out of both worlds, I'd say.
That's actually very nice to hear. Thank you. Those were nice words. But maybe explain like now how you got to Nikin, like how this worked.
So before coming here, I was working on my own brand called TreeSled. Basically, I was in the same business of planting trees, but we were selling bracelets. And at the moment when I kind of decided this was not an immediate decision, but over time, I learned that this was not something that I wanted to proceed with. Eventually we sold that business. But back then, I made the list of the companies in the world where I would like to work for, because I wanted to try it out, how to be employed. Nikin was on top, so I more or less sent out LinkedIn messages to Nicholas, Robin, so to you, Robin, and Carla, and Nicholas actually replied, so we started talking, and the rest is history.
That's so funny, because I was also during a time where I actually rarely read my LinkedIn messages, but somehow I saw your message and I was interested. But yeah, sometimes life is like that, and I'm quite happy to hear that. But like you say, you also like to have side businesses. Like, can you just explain why you have these and what they do, and what you actually learn with them that you don't learn at Nikin? Maybe you have some things to share.
Yes, so I'm building two e-commerce. I wouldn't say them brands, but businesses. One is with one we are selling books, and with the other one, which is more long-term shot, is in men cosmetics niche. Why do I do them? Because I really like the challenges of building business systems. This is one of the biggest passions of mine. And the huge benefit is that I learn, I keep track of the trends, how to do ads today, which is very different how it was 3 years ago than, for example, I don't know, AI trends for creating ads, optimizing processes, stuff like that. So these are all the things that more or less I consider as a future investment
in myself. So we cool.
Actually, of course, we also use Qt Nikon.
Very cool. Like, can you maybe, like, let's go into like some also takeaways, like for people, can you share, because you have a lot of like, you know, the main trends and main opportunities in e-commerce right now, the hacks, things that people need to know.
Yes. So basically the main one would be that meta ads are not dead, that you can still create very nice business around it. But personally, I'm more a fan of testing different brands before going into like all in into one brand. Basically how I do, I keep track of products that I see on social media, ideally some brands that are not in our area yet. I spy on them, what kind of ads they do, how much they spend, how much revenue they do. And of course, products need to be easy to ship, retention potential, acquisition potential. And based on that, so what I do is I create kind of a copy of that brand, test it out, and if cost per order is profitable, then it has potential, basically. That's the mentality.
But like, for everybody's listening, how can you like check the ads and competitors? How can you guess what the revenue they make?
Of course, there are quite a few tools. The most basic one and the most, let's say, accessible one is Facebook Ads Library, but that one doesn't tell you exactly the success of the ads. There are some other tools, for example, it's called tryatria.com. There you can actually see which ads they run the longest, how many ads they run, which landing pages they run to, and everything. So basically that's, for example, one tip as a good example. Which ads to take as an inspiration, and also which landing pages you try to recreate when testing the product.
Okay, very nice. Now, like let's go away from e-commerce. What is what are the biggest opportunities in 2025 for, let's say, entrepreneurs in the end, but also maybe for private people? Of course, AI, maybe we can say something about that, but like, what about that? What about other things?
Well, personally, I always think about e-commerce. So I'm at some point in your life, you have to make a decision where you want to be really good at, because if you switch every year from one business to another one, you'll never be good at anything. So I decided that my business is, or my field is e-commerce, in some way or the other.
So this is not very funny, because this is a podcast that is just like recorded wherever we are. We've been walking through the city of Vlada. We already crossed everything. Now someone came that I knew. But yeah, where did we stay, Mia? I'm super sorry for everybody listening, but that's part of the super easy to go and wasn't.
the next opportunities, business opportunities. So basically, I think about e-commerce more or less. So the biggest opportunity that I see, I will stay with e-commerce, is actually optimizing processes within e-commerce, because I clearly believe that like two people are enough to run 1 million plus e-commerce business. Basically with creating ads and everything, of course, with some help of freelancers. But generally speaking, two people that are full time on a project can run a very successful e-commerce business today. And a fulfillment center, of course.
Yeah, that's actually interesting to say that, because I now started. I built up Nikon and so on, and it's super nice, but we're like 35-ish people or so at the moment. And honestly, I sometimes miss the times when we were max 10 people, because when you're max 10 people, you have one team. If you say something, everybody knows about it. You don't need some HR rules. You can be flexible with everybody. It works just much easier. So I think if I build up something again, it would be something that you can have with a smaller team. And probably the best is, if you are like, I don't know, 5 to 10 people and make like 3 to 4 million revenue, most profitable business and the most fulfilling in the end, I guess.
Exactly. My, life wish is actually having a team of 5 people or something like that, running a well profitable e-commerce business. And that's whatever would be like more than that is just a bonus for me.
Yeah. Well, that's actually already a super nice end, but I still want to end it here, actually. I mean, it's a short podcast that we usually take max around 15 minutes, but I want to then go like away from like the whole business topic and would like to ask you, like, what do you do when you're not thinking of business, when you're not like building up an e-com brand?
Actually, that doesn't happen often, I have to say, but I do a lot of sports, jiu-jitsu. This is the latest hobby that I found. So I've been doing jiu-jitsu now for 8-9 months or something like that. So this is very fresh. But yeah, mostly my mind is more or less thinking about how to build things. I really like to build things in general. So, okay, for example, renovating apartment. This is also, it's a project that I more or less consider it in very similar way as doing a business project. So there's a list of things that needs to be done. Try to focus on things that have the most impact, outsource those that can do someone else better than you. So I will not be painting walls or something like that. But yeah, that's more or less. And of course, traveling. I mean, we love traveling.
I mean, I also love traveling and food a lot, to be honest.
So traveling and soap making, this is also a fresh hobby. But again, this is again just building something. I just like to build things that people use and that have business potential.
Nice. If there's like three books or podcasts or accounts to follow, whatever, like what inspires you? What do you do like for your mindset and stuff and for yourself?
Actually, I'd say talking to people gives me the most inspiration. Luckily, over the years, I got to know quite a lot of very, very good people that I can reach out anytime. So just talking to people gives me the most inspiration. But of course, I don't know, while you're driving, just podcast, stuff like that. But I wouldn't go too much into it. It's very basic talking to people. To people that gives me the most value.
So your friends or your therapists actually?
It depends on what, but yeah, for friends, for business stuff or mindset stuff, I actually, funny thing, I have a list of people that I get to know. So this is a bit weird, a bit creepy, but at the same time very helpful, because like I have a list of potential mentors, I have a list of cool people that I like to stay in touch with. I also have a ban list that I don't want to give them more time.
Interesting to see that. You know what I did in the beginning of the year?
I also have a list of people that I could potentially sell to at some point.
Interesting. I did in the beginning of this year because I believe you have friends circles. You have circle 1, 2, and 3 or whatever. Circle 1 is the closest, number 2 a bit less close, but also close. Number 3 is a bit outside. And all the time people go further in or out. This is not related to business or so, but this is, I categorize my friends into circle 1, 2, 3. And I had the goal that I want to see my circle 1 friends at least twice a year. Circle 2 friends at least once. Circle 3 is just to add on. And I'm really like systematically now trying to see my friends in this year, and somehow it works. So it makes sense to cluster people and kind of strategically like think of them and do stuff for them.
Exactly. Huge benefit of it is that I also mark what was our last kind of interaction for those people that I'd like to stay in touch with, because it happens too often that for people that you actually care, you don't either see each other, it pissed a phone call for a couple of years. And it just passes by, and then that's a good way to keep track on that. Of course, I don't do that for every single person that I meet or talk to or whatever, but for the people that are interesting and that we had like a very interesting interaction at some point, I like to memorize them, because honestly, I'm very, very bad at remembering names, remembering faces. So this is the only way for me personally, although it's a bit, might be a bit weird, but it's the only way for me to actually remember people effectively.
That's super interesting. I once, like 10 years ago or so, was thinking of, shall I write down like in a list all people I also do favors to?
But it does the job.
I know, I didn't do it in the end. It felt like wrong to do it with the favors, you know? But you're right. For example, I sat down with so many people that I gave free advice for half an hour, this and that. And you could later go to them and say, I mean, you don't even need to say, I did you a favor, do this for me.
Yeah, sure.
They will know it. But yeah, I didn't do this. I did just a friends categorization.
Good. Yeah, but it's also important that, I mean, you don't do that to categorize really people. I do that for myself because I'm so bad at names. And I forget who I talk to, basically. That's because my mind is kind of running around
all the time. Interesting. Well, we've been talking already for quite some time. Is there anything last that you want to say that this would be interesting to share?
I mean, I don't have like super wise words or something to finish it.
I'm sure you would have some, but we already had enough actually. So and therefore,
that's enough.
Therefore, I would say thank you very much, Mia. It was super interesting, especially the friends thing in the end and the categorizing thing. And
to a very different direction than intended.
Definitely. And it was nice walking around to Odd. I hope for the ones listening, you heard it well, but I think so. And yeah, I hope to talk to you soon again on the podcast. This is now episode number 9 or 10 or so, and maybe number 30, we will do one again. So thanks, me. Have a great day.